I welcome Judy Dempsey, a senior scholar of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's in Berlin, helping me understand a dominant story in the European Union in Europe. There is to be a new election in Germany in February. The headline in the Financial Times, German frontrunner Friedrich Merz faces row over unfunded tax cuts. Opposition CDU, that's Friedrich Merz's party, the Christian Democratic Union, and governing SPD, that's Chancellor Schulz's party, the Socialists, offer starkly competing visions as they prepare to unveil election manifestos. The vote of no confidence within hours of Olaf Scholz, something he agreed with, means the new elections will determine, do they go SPD way, which has proved to be a coalition that was not stable, or do they go Friedrich Merz's way, where, if I understand correctly, they all need to help each other. Judy, a very good evening to you. Friedrich Merz is looking sharp in his new Italian suit, blue suit and blue tie. He's very, 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 very young and vigorous. He's even looking like he has something of a winter tan. Who is Friedrich Merz? What do we need to know about him, Judy? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you very much. But I think Friedrich Merz is more than one Italian suit and more than one nice Italian silk tie. And let's go for the shoes as well. But yes, my heavens, this man in his early 60s, he's wanted this job for such a long time. He's risen through the ranks of the Christian Democratic Union Party. He's a lawyer. He's a very wealthy man. He can look after all his expenses and everything else. But he has wanted this job, and he always ran into a huge a chemistry dispute with the former Christian Democrat Chancellor Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel actually ousted him. He always wanted to be finance minister. He wanted to topple Merkel. Merkel put him into isolation, political isolation. Now he's the comeback man. He's a leader of the Conservatives, and he's their Chancellor candidate, and he wants this job. And his speech on Monday, the 16th of December in the Bundestag, showed that he's ready for it, and he didn't mince his words. That was the very interesting thing about him.
The radically different tax approach, I'm presuming that concerns the setback in Volkswagen, the slowdown in German industry in general, the almost recession-like, if not recession-like, conditions that are reporting. What does Herr Merz believe will reverse that policy? Is he talking about cutting taxes? Is he talking about privatizing the state-run enterprises? What's his vision?
His vision actually is actually very practical. Not to confuse or make life difficult for your listeners, there's a thing called the debt brake, the Schuldenbremse, the debt brake, as in what you put your foot on the brake of the car, which only allows a government to raise the structural debt by 0.35% a year. Now, Olaf Scholz, the outgoing chancellor, wants to actually increase the spending, and the sacked finance minister of the Free Democrats, Christian Lindner, wanted to keep it because he hates debt. And what is interesting now is that Merz actually wants to loosen the debt brake, but on condition that the money is not used for populist measures, meaning giving more money to pensioners. So remember, the CDU and the SPD, the Social Democrats, Christian Democrats, they rely on a lot of old people. Merz wants this extra money to be poured into the infrastructure, to be poured into the digital economy, to be poured into AI, to be poured into transport, to actually modernize the entire infrastructure of Germany, which is very, very important. And this is one of his aims. He's got other plans as well. A very important one, which actually Scholz raised during his populist speech, was to actually make it an incentive for people to work instead of living off the state. And this is going to be a very important issue during the election. These are his two main issues, actually. And he hopes that by doing these two things, that Germany eventually will become more competitive and stop being the laggard in the European Union.
We have a quote from Robert Habeck, the chancellor candidate for the Greens. The Green Party has slipped in my memory recently. He says that the plans, Herr Merz's plans, were unfunded and meant that the government headed by the CDU would be one of unsound finances. Suddenly the Greens have discovered economy. This looks tactical on the part of those who criticize Herr Merz. Is it? Or is it profound? Does Germany still have a fear of debt?
They have a kind of historic fear of debt, but there's a younger generation that haven't inherited this fear. But when Germans look at their infrastructure and the bridges that need to be repaired and the roads that need to be repaired and the railway system that has to be modernized and increased, they realize a little bit more spending in the right places is actually necessary. As for Robert Habeck, Habeck actually is hedging his bets because there's a discussion out there somewhere that if Merz does win, he's going to need a coalition partner.
Right.
And the Greens are positioning themselves, not in the way that Habeck presented yesterday, but Scholz's position is completely contradictory to Merz's position. But the Greens are much more pragmatic in many ways than the Social Democrats under Scholz.
My understanding heretofore was that the election would result in Friedrich Merz being chancellor, but he would need the SPD in order to have a majority in the Bundestag. This is news to me that all of a sudden the Greens are going to have enough seats to provide the difference between what the CDU has and what it needs.
But we don't. Sorry.
No.
Go ahead.
The Greens are a party of the left, aren't they? I don't know.
No. No, I mean, the Greens are no longer this. The Greens are a mixture of pragmatists, realists, and a fading generation of pacifists. The Greens have been in power on the federal level, which has given them the real sense of responsibility and what it means. And it's very hard to describe the Greens as left. I mean, what is left these days, leaving aside the Social Democrats and their East German Social Democratic wing and pro-Russia wing, but the Greens are incredibly pragmatic. They're open towards foreign policy. They're pro-Ukraine. They're pro-NATO, which is a big change for the Greens over the years. And actually, deep down, they could be coalition partners with Merz's Christian Democrats if they got enough votes at the end of the day on February 23rd.
Is Merz in a position to say what he has to and not speculate? Is he a good campaigner? One of the things I've learned about polling is if you're ahead, don't talk. Is he talking or is he being cautious?
And I watched all these debates yesterday in the German parliament. I was struck by how open he was. He didn't pull his punches. He spelled out everything that had to be done. And I think what he is doing ahead of the campaign is warning the public that the old days are over. The old days of fudging are over. The old days of subsidies are over. The old days of bailing out industries which cannot be competitive are over. It was extraordinary how he spelt this out, actually. It was quite a cold shower and a necessary one. And now that he said this, I assume that he will continue this into his campaign. And of course, Olaf Scholz and Social Democrats and the left of the Social Democrats and the far left and the far right will actually go the other way and criticize Merz for his sort of cold capitalism. But it's not a cold capitalism. It's actually a program, ironically, which the former Social Democrat Chancellor Gerhard Schröder in 2004 and 2005 unveiled to actually cure the illness of what was called the sick man of Europe. And Schröder succeeded in bringing people back to work.
One detail that's emerging from this argument is that AfD is polling very well for a minority party. In fact, according to the FT's poll that took place November 30th, recently, AfD outpolls SPD and the Greens. I imagine that's a volatile polling. But AfD has no place in CDU, I believe. You've told me that in the past. No place in SPD. So what happens if you're a minority party with growth? Do you get a special place in the election? Or are you just, you're frozen out like all the other small parties?
Well, I'm just looking at the opinion polls. You mentioned the FT, and I've been looking at the Guardian one, which is also very interesting. The AfD is now 18. The SPD, Social Democrats, is 16. The Greens are 12. The CDU is 32. Schulz has to bring back those who disaffected to the AfD. There's no doubt about this. And he will do this on his immigration policy. And I think he will do it by questioning exactly what the AfD stands for. And economic policies, they're sort of very old-fashioned. And Merz can't have a Germany that's old-fashioned and holding Europe back, and holding actually Europe back at a time of the unknowns in the incoming Trump administration and the unknowns of the global economy. And Alice Weidel, the leader of the AfD, I heard her yesterday in Bundestag, and she really had nothing concrete to say, but she has a resonance with the East Germans for because of resentment, because they believe the so-called West German political parties have let them down, and also she resonates being pro-Russian. But if so many people in Eastern Germany vote AfD, you have to actually consider their vote, and they will be back in the parliament, no doubt about it. At what strength, we don't know.
Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's a senior scholar. She's in Berlin. The two big issues for the U.S. and will be for Europe are trade and Ukraine war when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.